In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Happy Trinity Sunday. The only Sunday observation that is of doctrine. Seems kind of odd to celebrate a doctrine. And after all, why? What does it matter? In some churches, in some places, some Episcopal and some other denominations, this Sunday, you would get to read the Athanasian Creed, as opposed to the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. It's on page 864 in the Book of Common Prayer. You should take a look sometime. It's an experience to read through the whole thing. The mystery writer, who also wrote theology, Dorothy Sayers, had one of her characters described based off bits out of the Athanasian Creed, the Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Spirit incomprehensible, the whole thing incomprehensible. Seriously, is this just a 4th or 5th century philosophical artifact that we have? Because we don't use this kind of language anymore, even in philosophy. Why do we keep this around? In our gospel, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit telling us things. Further revelation is what it sounds like, but we've been reading through John lately. Didn't he just say to his disciples, you've heard and seen it all in Jesus? So what's up with that? Now, Jesus has said it all already. Why the Holy Spirit at all? How can there possibly be any kind of new revelation? Well, if you think about that, even in the New Testament, there was. Consider St. Paul. St. Paul totally missed schlepping all over Palestine with Jesus and the disciples. He missed the crucifixion, he missed the resurrection. He was still persecuting Christians when he had his dramatic conversion experience on the road to Damascus. That was a revelation, as we use the word, to him. Quite a revelation. And then what about all the Gentiles? At the time of Jesus' death and resurrection, Christianity was a completely Jewish movement. So what about those things? Maybe there's a place for the Holy Spirit. And more practically, what about how do we live in the way, as Christianity was called early on? How do we live in the way without Jesus here? What about, as they discovered in the letter to the Thessalonians, what about when folks die before Jesus' return? Because Jesus was expected back pretty soon now. Last week, I mentioned a banner that the United Church of Christ, near where I used to live, had on their building. It's like a two-story banner, and all it says is, still speaking. I really like that banner. But it's true. God is still speaking. And maybe it's not new revelation, but new to us. The realization of meaning in a different kind of context. Have you ever had an experience like that? I call them the V8 sort of experience, where you hear something you've heard over and over that you should have absorbed, and suddenly go, oh, that's what that means, I get it. I once had an experience of telling somebody something about, good thing God doesn't know about that. I was like half joking. And he said, no, God hears always, and he hears it from your heart. And it struck me, it was like a universe hummed. I suddenly realized, yes, that's true in a way, a really profound way. I had never realized it before. And it sounds sort of stupid, like, well, duh, or I could have had a V8, but to me, it was a huge revelation to my soul. You ever had that kind of experience? Maybe that's the kind of revelation of the Holy Spirit, the new revelation. Not something new, but new to us. Or maybe you suddenly realize, oh yeah, right. You know, I guess I really do believe that stuff I've been hearing and saying for years and years. I guess at some fundamental level, it stuck. See, the problem for us is that Jesus isn't here. He asked questions, not left for his disciples. The revelation of God in Jesus of Nazareth is done. It's complete. And it's time-bound in certain significant ways. In one sense, it's a historic, to us, event. And the writer of John's Gospel, I might add, is not the person who you would be thinking would be suggesting the revelation. Matter of fact, John's community was a group of Christians who felt that they were like the ones who had it right. They felt under siege from their Jewish compatriots, from their other Christian groups. They were really had a circle wagon sort of attitude. Yet, John, in his gospel, suggests something new. The same guy who seems to think that Jesus is the revelation of God, period, end of statement, end of book, also suggests that God is still speaking. Fact is, our Trinitarian doctrine, for all of the making fun of it, like Dorothy Sayers, our Trinitarian doctrine is not primarily for geeky philosophical or historical types. It's that it is of practical use. As theologian Catherine Lacumba writes, it's a way of making sense of our way of speaking about and participating in the life of God through Christ and in the Spirit. What we know from our Gospels and from the early days of the Church is that the Holy Spirit is never inconsistent with Jesus' teaching, but it may take us a while to see where that consistency is, or what in fact is consistent. A good example is slavery. For years of the Church, slavery was thought to be supported by Scripture. Role of women in the Church is another thing. For years, women would not speak publicly in church, much less wear fancy clothes. We thought this was in accord with Scripture. It has taken 18, 19, 2,000 years to figure it out. It's not new revelation. It's revealing what already is in a new and deeper way. In fact, we do know God because, despite the historical distance, we know Jesus through Holy Scripture, through our own experience. But what exactly that means is revealed slowly. Bits may suddenly be revealed, but the big picture usually takes a fair amount of time. A good analogy, not perfect, but a good analogy is to think of marriage or parenthood or your family of origin. The relationships forged in a marriage, as a parent, as a child, the relationships with others unfold slowly. You learn more about that person over time. You never know another individual, another human being, completely the way God does. But you get to know over time better and better and better. But it's revealed slowly as we go about doing ordinary stuff. Now consider God's perspective. God has that kind of relationship, not with one other person or a few children, but with each and every one of us that ever was and that ever will be. That close, intimate relationship. And on God's side, it's fully revealed. On our side, well, it takes a while. But in fact, we are fully known and loved prior to our understanding.